Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was sure.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Everybody, I want to say that I'm glad to be back with you on another Blog Talk Radio episode and segment with the broadcast concerning today, temptation. Amen. Yeah, I thank God for all of you who listen, all those of you who have heard us in the past, the comments that you've given us, the things that you've shared with us concerning this blog, and we are so excited about what Jesus is doing in and through us now. Can I tell you something? He's loving you through me now. I want to give some condolences to a friend that I had come to know back in the 90s. And I'm pretty sure it's worldwide and renowned, known very widely about the passing away of Dr. Miles Monroe and his lovely wife Ruth and their daughter. And I just wanted to say that my condolences are out to the family of Dr. Monroe, and I just wanted to take this moment to share that I came to know him back in the 90s. Did several conventions together and did a Believer Summit there in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Monroe was one of the keynote speakers. He was the keynote speaker there for us and had opportunity to be able to share with him several occasions after the summit. We did other meetings with him. And I came to know him. And my God has all power and all sufficiency. And he knows everything. Your God, our God. And the Lord has called him home. And we just want to say that he has been such an inspiration. If you've heard me talk about righteousness and kingdom living, he was one of the ones who inspired me. Back in the 90s when I met him, he shared with me what the Lord had laid on his heart to me. And he said, God told me to tell you that you needed to preach righteousness. I was already preaching kingdom living, but God told me to tell you that you needed to preach righteousness. And I did. I was at that particular time seeking what I should be ministering along the lines of the word of God to the body of Christ. And that made the connection for me. As a matter of fact, I was really seeking hard to know, was it just the kingdom that I should be preaching? And the Lord inspired him to share with me prophetically that I should be also preaching righteousness. And that's where you've heard me preach about, you've heard me talk about on these blogs, righteousness and kingdom living. And he was a great inspiration to me. He was a part of the reason why you hear me ministering along those lines. And that particular time that he ministered to me, it came from the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where the Bible, and your Bible continuously tells us out of the mouth of the apostle Matthew in that chapter, in that 36th chapter and 33rd verse, he said, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And we've talked about that a little bit on some of the blogs. My condolences goes out to him, to his family, those survivors, his son, and we just give you into the hands of the Lord. We pray that that peace that passeth all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus will comfort them at this particular time. There's heart as our heart goes out in the passing of that great man of God. What a loss it has been to us as we seemingly the body of Christ, but the Lord has greater plans, and we know that God is sovereign in those things, and we submit ourselves to the sovereignty of God. Amen. All right, let's talk about today, just for the moment. The topic that we're dealing with today is temptation. And we are using as a platform the passage of Scripture, James chapter 1. And we are going to talk today, excuse me, from verse 12 to verse 14. Oh, either 15, I'm sorry. Let's read. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Temptation. We want to use for a sub as that. We're going to talk about three elements that the enemy uses to distract us as we are moved in the area of temptation. We're going to talk about lust, we're going to talk about sin, and we're going to talk about death. And today that topic should be, I would label it, as I've talked about this a long time ago, but I want to just share with you today, because I believe so many believers are dealing with this particular, as a matter of fact, I know they are, all believers are dealing with this particular subject, this passage, temptation. We're going to talk about Satan's LSD. You know, back in the old days, and in the days that I grew up, during the times of the 60s era, I was not quite a 60s child in that respect, but I had an atmosphere of the 60s with some of my relatives as well as some of the people that were around me. So I was kind of familiar with what was going on in the 60s and kind of got a real understanding of that particular generation and era. During that particular time, they had a drug that was very, very intoxicating. As a matter of fact, it was a strong hallucinogenic, and so strong, as a matter of fact, that it took a lot of people to an untimely death. And some are still dealing with the effects of that drug even today. They call it LSD, or lysergic acid. And so that drug was very, very strong and hallucinant. And it took people into strong hallucinations, and some even to do things that were totally against the will of their minds, and caused them to, as I shared, go into an untimely death. Well, that was a physical drug. And it took its toll on a lot of people in that era, during that particular generation of the 60s. But I came to tell you today that that drug has been around a long time, not in the physical arena, but it has definitely been around a long time, excuse me, in the spiritual arena. And that is Satan's LSD, lust, sin, and death. In James' book, he describes, the Apostle James talks to us about God dealing with you and I concerning the word temptation. Now, a person who is tempted is a, let me give you an elementary term of temptation. It is enticed or led to do something that is wrong or forbidden. That's as simple as I can bring it to you. It is an enticement to lead a person to do something wrong or forbidden. So, the question today comes is, in temptation, as we defined it, where did it really come from? James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Have you ever heard somebody say that, you know, the Lord sent this to me because he's trying me? That phrase, James the Apostle, he shoots it out of midair there because he says God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he, and what I mean by that, the definition I said was to do wrong or to do things forbidden. Neither tempted he any man. In other words, he does not send wrong to you, and he does not send forbidden things to you or evil things. He is not the author of those things. So the Bible says, neither tempted he any man with evil. Now, so therefore, the Bible goes on to tell us, verse 14 of James chapter 1, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own, excuse me, his own lust and enticed. Listen, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. You know, you and I have a problem in the world, and it's not so much the devil. We'll talk about him in a minute. Our biggest problem is our own selves. If we can rid ourselves of ourselves, then we can make a connection with the Lord. That's why Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, he must first deny. He didn't say the devil. He didn't say the enemy. He didn't say Satan. He didn't say Lucifer. He said he must, Diablos. He said he must first deny himself. And I want to tell you today that a lot of the problems that we face in life, really most of the problems that we deal with, are occurrences because of ourselves. Now, we have an agent that's behind a lot of the things that are brought before us. But the real character that sponsors all of these things is ourselves. And let's talk about that for a minute. Let's see what brought us to this place. When everybody is tempted, they're drawn away of their own lust. Any man, any woman is tempted, drawn away of their own lust and enticed. Lust, what is that? Lust is an inordinate affection. What does that mean? That means it is an affection that cannot be satisfied. You are always reaching for more, never feeling of being filled to satisfaction. Lust is the opposite of love. Love is fulfilling. Love is forgiving. Love is God. God is love, and God is full. You are full. When you receive him, you are full. You are complete. You're not empty. But lust is always desiring more and more and more, and will do whatever it takes to obtain it. It is an inordinate affection that cannot be satisfied. So James goes on to say that after you have been only enticed by lust, or you have been tempted to lust, then what happens? He says after a person lust has come, he said after lust is conceived, his conception of lust is almost, it is, let me give you an analogy or an illustration. Conception of lust is similar to a man impregnating a woman, having to procreate or to create a child. They do that through an act called sexual intercourse. And with sexual intercourse comes the man and the woman, a man and a woman, a man and a woman, sexually involved, and they are married. They come into a sexual act of intercourse to procreate or to bring in to being another child. And so when the man impregnates the woman through the seed of the semen that was in his body to her egg, which is the fertile part of the woman's conception, to the reception of the semen from the man to the woman, and when those things come together, it's called conception, or they have conceived. And the woman's conceived now, and now she's impregnated with a child, whether it be male or female. Chromosomes determine that. But here we go. So now the conception has come. So what am I saying? Anytime that lust comes into the person, now what does it conceive? What does lust operate? Lust operates in the mind. It operates in the eye. John said, there are three things in the world: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What is the lust of the flesh? Actually, the word flesh described and broken down in elementary terms is your mind. First temptation comes to your mind. Then it enters into the eyes. Glory to God. And then it comes to, oh, I'm sorry. I was excited there and I hit my microphone. Sorry about that. Lust comes into the mind. Lust comes into the eyes. And then you be moved. You are moved by the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The things that we see through our eyes. And also the pride of life, which is the arrogance of things in the world that we feel that fulfill us or make us who we are. You know, things don't make us. We make things. I'm going to say that one more time. Things do not make us. We make things. And that's something that we'll talk about on another occasion. So now we find James has said that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth a child. Just like when a man and a woman bring forth procreation in terms of the sexual act of intercourse, in the conception comes the child. When in the conception of the mind, after lust has entered, and the person, you and I, accept the temptation, accept it in our mind, and in the conception, it brings forth the act of sin. Now, sin is the known transgression or disobedience against the will of God or the known will of God. Now let's take into consideration here. We'll talk about this in a minute. But God is addressing here people who understand Him and know His voice. Now, if you hear this today and you're a sinner and you say, I don't know God, but you hear this message and you're being drawn, I want you to tell you that Jeremiah said in his writings, I think it was Jeremiah 33:1, somewhere in that passage, one of those, he says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah 33:3. With loving kindness have I, 31:3. Let's go back. Let's go there. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the right passage out of the book of Jeremiah. Yes, it is Jeremiah 31:3, and it says this. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Or, the actual little translation is, I have extended loving kindness unto you. Excuse me. Now, listen. If you're hearing this today and you're not really saved, you don't feel like you know the Lord, I want to tell you that the Lord is drawing you with loving kindness. So now you hear His voice. If you can hear His voice, that means that you know He's calling you. So let's talk about lust today. Let's talk about sin. When sin is finished, sin is a child. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin is a child of lust. And when lust brings forth sin, and when the act of sin is finished, the Bible says in James chapter 15, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death. The Webster's Dictionary says it's the cessation of life. But I want to tell you, when a person ceases to live, but we're not talking about that type of death, because everybody's going to die in the natural. But we're talking about the death that happened in the garden with Adam when he did the forbidden thing. He died spiritually. He died out of the presence of Almighty God. So let's go to that particular chapter. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, you would think that this would be the first episode of what we find the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden. And you would believe to say that these are the things, this is what happened with man. Chapter 2. After God had created the man, the Bible says in verse 7, of chapter 2, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And he planted him in the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now in the verse of chapter 20, 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man. So God made man in his image and in his likeness, and gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I don't have time to go into all of that. We'll do that in another segment. We'll talk about the genealogy of man, and we'll talk about the genesis of man and where he came from. Actually, we'll talk about the genius of man and who he really is and why he was created in the image and after the image and the likeness of his God, his Father, the creator of the ends of the world, the ends of the earth, the creator of the universe, and all that's therein. What a mighty God we serve. So now we find the man and the woman in the scene of the garden. The Bible says that he has created the man. So then he gives him an order in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as he placed him in the garden, he said, thou shalt not, he said, first of all, he gives him a scenario of instruction and says that you can do all that you desire to do in the garden. You read that from verse 8 all the way down to verse 16. But in verse 17, you'll find him saying, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, thou for thereof thou shalt surely die. Excuse me. Now God is talking to Adam. He says, in the day that you eat of this tree, the tree of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that's the death that we're talking about today, friend. That's the death that James the Apostle was talking about. He was talking about not a physical death, as we know, but he was talking about a spiritual death. Now watch what I'm going to say here, and I want you to hear me very well. The Lord God, through the Apostle James and all of the Bible, is written to people who hear God's voice, people who know God's voice. Now, in the days of old, the Bible goes on to tell us this book, the Holy Bible, the sanctified, the clear, the purified, the pure truth, the unorthodox truth. This book was written to those who hear the voice of God. This book was written to Adam and Eve. They heard the voice of God. The Bible says they knew the voice of God. The Bible said he even spoke to them in the garden. He spoke to them just like you and I. We're corresponding now. As I communicate, you're reciprocating. As I'm communicating out of my voice, you hear my voice. And in your reciprocation of hearing, you are in bringing transmission into what we call communion or communications. So God had he had a relationship and fellowship through his voice in the garden to Adam and to Eve in the area of communications. So they were not without instruction. So we want to establish today that they were people who knew God and the voice of God. Now, we find them in chapter 2. And the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. In verse 18, so the Bible says he creates him a woman out of his rib, gives him a deep sleep, pulls her out of him, and presents him to her. Now man is not lonely anymore. And he calls a woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 23. Now listen. She was built specifically for him. She was made directly for him. And she was his helpmeet. And the Bible says in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh or one mind. And they were both naked. They were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's very important. They were not ashamed. So here we go. Now in verse chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, now the serpent. Okay, here it comes. Was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now here's communion going on here with the wrong person in the wrong mind. The devil, the serpent, the evil one, pops up in the garden. It reminds me of the winding up of the thing we used to call a toy back in the days of my childhood called the jack-in-the-box. Well, you would press down and you would play some music. It would be in a box and it would be a top on it. You would press him down and you would wind him up and he would play the music and pop, he jumps up. Well, this is what happened in the garden. All of a sudden, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He's a jack-in-the-box. He pops up and begins to conversate with Eve, the woman, the weaker part of the man, about wrong thinking, forbidden doings. She's now being enticed, and he's tempting her to do the wrong thing. Well, where did he come from? In the book, we would think that the first temptation started with Adam and Eve. But actually, the book of Isaiah tells us exactly where the first temptation starts. And let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And there we're going to find, I believe, from the knowledge that we have through today's writings and teachings of the prophets, the beginning of what we know as temptation and lust. How did it originate? Where did it come from? Who is the author of it? Was it God or the devil? Let's find out. In the Bible, in verse chapter 14 of Isaiah, verse 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? He was called the day star. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the earth of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners, all the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one of his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, and go down into the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. That's the vivid description of the devil. As he said in his heart that he would ascend to the throne. Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 just for a minute, and let's look at something. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible goes on to tell us. Now, some of you will know, kind of know where I'm headed with this. Those are Bible scholars. Some people don't agree with what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I believe this bears witness to what God has said to us. Every answer that you need to know is in the Bible. All you got to do is seek it out. Everything that you need to know, everything that I need to know, is in this book. The truth of God is all here. And there, the Bible says he has revealed his secrets to us. Those of us who sought him. For the Lord God will do nothing in Amos 3 and 3, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So the prophets are writing here. The book of Moses, the book of Genesis, written by the prophet Moses, comes to tell us through revelation knowledge in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without void, form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, wait a minute. We want to talk just for a few minutes. We want to labor with this. I want to talk to you about this. I believe in between Genesis chapter 1 and verse and chapter 2 that there was something else that happened long before the Spirit of God moved, before he created the heaven. The Bible says he created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without void, form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, let's turn there. Those of you who have your Bibles, I really want to labor with this. We're talking about temptation, and we're talking about where it originated. Where did it really come from? Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 12 tells us what happened. Ezekiel is always in the spirit. The Bible says that he was the son of the prophet, who was really the word of the Lord came unto him saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, verse 1 and 2, thus because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet, listen to what God is saying here, yet, thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now listen at this. In verse, and you'll read that, but we want to mainly focus on verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We're talking about who here? Watch what he says here. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy taprets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountains. Notice what he said. I will ascend unto the mountain, he said, of God. And thou hast walked upon the and up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the day that thou was created. And thou, until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. Hallelujah. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, for the midst, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about the devil, Lucifer. He calls him the son of Tyrus. He is, the Bible says, he was perfect in the day that he was created until iniquity was found in him. Well, somebody said, can you verify that for me? Well, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. I'm giving you a couple of scriptures. The Bible says, let the truth be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. And you would think that the book of Revelation is a book that is talking about future events. But if you read the book of Revelation carefully and prayerfully, you will find that it is past, present, and future. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 7, you read this when you get an opportunity. Read the whole entire chapter. Blessed is the person who reads the book of Revelation. Anybody who reads the book, just read it. You'll be blessed. Verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, he deceived the nations. Hallelujah. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Now listen, the Bible says that the devil and his angels were cast into the earth. When did that happen? That happened before there was a when or where or then or there. That happened before Genesis was actually written by the prophet Moses, when God said that there was a heaven and an earth that he had created, and that it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Now, there was an earth before that. There was a flood. The Bible says that the devil and his angels fought against the dragon, and they did not prevail. And they were cast out, his angels. They were the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast back into the earth and drew with him, as the scriptures have proclaimed to us, a third of the angelic host. We study, we find that. And they were cast, him and his angels, into the earth. Now that's where we find devils and demons. They were here before. There was an earth before. If you go back and read Isaiah's account, you will find that he had, the Bible says he would ascend. He was leaving the place. That place was the earth. This used to be his domain, and that's why he is upset at you and I today, because the Lord turned back around and created the man and gave him the earth. He stripped the devil of his rights. He stripped the devil of the earth. He stripped the devil of the mountain of God. He stripped the devil of the things of the earth and created a man and casted him into the Garden of Eden. The Bible says he was in the Garden of God. He was there before. There was an Eden before. There was a flood that took place before. There was a natural flood that took place with Noah. That flood was the deluge, the falling angelic host. Somebody says, can you really? Come on, man. Can you really prove that? Can you? All right. Let's go to Luke. Luke's Gospel. and let's look at what Jesus said in Luke's gospel. And I believe that's verse. As the disciples were going in the 70, were out to return after Jesus had anointed them to do works and signs and wonders. They were very excited in chapter 10 of the book of Luke. The Bible says he assigned them to go out to cast out. Watch what he says now. Verse 13. But it shall be more tolerant for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He's talking about the devil. Watch this. He says, he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despises you, despises me, and he that... You read the whole chapter when you get the opportunity, you can understand it. But I want to stop there. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. And the Bible says, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And watch what Jesus says. We just got to read in Revelation chapter 12 now. And verse 7. Watch what Jesus says in this chapter. He's revealing something to us. He's giving us an understanding about what happened in the book of Revelation. Watch what he says. In verse 18, he says unto them, he said, unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Him and his angels. See, behold, I give unto thee power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits of the devil are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names have been written in the Lamb's, or either in heaven, or the Lamb's book of life. Now, we don't see any other place in the Bible where they say that Jesus had a Holy Ghost fit or a shouting good time, except right here. In verse 21, it says, and in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And all things are delivered into me, to my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who is the Father, but the Son, and he whom the Son will reveal him. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I feel like shouting right there, but I won't take a Pentecostal fit at this moment. For we hear the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of the living God, now reveals to us that he saw heaven, that he saw Satan fall from heaven. He was cast down to the earth. That's why he came as a jack-in-the-box. He popped up in the garden to tempt the woman, because this used to be his domain. Now you maybe have an understanding of why he's so adamant against you and I about the earth and the possession of it. For the Bible says that God gave man dominion over all the things of the earth. He gave him dominion over the air, the things that fly in it, over the sea, the things that swim in it, and over the land, the things that live in it, that creep upon it. So he gave us three elements of creation: the air, the sea, and the land. He gave us dominion over those things, but he did not give us dominion over one another. Bible didn't say that he gave us dominion over each other. Glory to God, for we were created in his image and his likeness. And he was the only one who had dominion to because he was our creator, and he is our creator. And we give him the praise for that. So now we find temptation has come into the garden through the man that was found, who was found with iniquity in him, who was perfect from the day that he was created. The Bible says that in Ezekiel's account of the gospel, that he was full of music. The Bible says he was the angelic leader. He was the choir leader of the angelic host. He was God's songsman. He was God's instrument. He was created, the Bible says, tappets, pipes, all kind of things. He was kind of like one of those old pipe organs that you have in a church. The Bible, and he had precious stones. The Bible said he looked good. He was a good looking, he was a beautiful angel. And the Bible said he was full of wisdom until the iniquity was found. Look, this man, the devil was very, very, very much a beautiful angel. But pride was found in him, arrogance. And it goes back to the word lust. Inordinate affection. He could not be satisfied. He wanted to take over. He wanted to enthrone himself and take over the throne of God. He wanted to destroy God. Isn't it amazing that he had wisdom, but he was actually dumb to think that he could overcome the creator, the God, the almighty God, the creator of the ends of the world? Did he not know that if he had destroyed God, he would have destroyed being as it is? He would have even destroyed himself, having not the concept of the fact that God is life. And if he could really destroy him, if God could be destroyed, then that he would have destroyed life as we know it, and we would not know ourselves today as we know. Glory to God. So the Bible says, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the almighty God knew that there was iniquity that was found in. I hear you saying, I hear the question, well, where did iniquity come from? It came from the devil. It came from Satan. It came from him wanting to take over. It came from him having an attitude that God, that he was bigger than God, that he was greater than God, that he was powerful, more powerful than God. And therefore, iniquity was formed. And out of that comes the spirit of lust. And therefore, he tempted the man and he tempted the woman. First, we see her in the garden in communication with him. And he talks to her mind and begins to tempt her to do the wrong thing and to do the thing that is forbidden. And therefore, today, now we understand how sin entered into the world. It first started with the rebellion in heaven. It didn't start in this earth. It started as a rebellion against God. In heaven, the Bible says Lucifer, the son of the morning, the devil, as we know him now, Satan, and his angels rebelled against the known will of God, saying that in his mind's eye, he could take over and dethrone the God of the creator of the ends of the earth and the universe. And therefore, God kicked him out of heaven back to his domain, which was in the earth. If I'm making sense to you today, then glory to God, I want your eyes to be open so you can see what was going on and why we're having this terrible fight today that we are having against the powers of darkness and the power of light. For the devil thinks that this world belongs to him, but he was the stripped of it. It was taken away from him. He was kicked out of the mountain of God back into the earth. And therefore, Today, dominion has been given to you and me. That's why Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came back to the earth to redeem man back to the things of Eden, to the Garden of Eden, where there was no sin and there was no death. There was no lust. And forever he will destroy lust, sin, and death, the unfruitful works of darkness. He did it through his blood, shed it on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Friend of mine, those of you who are listening to today, you have the power to overcome temptation. James said, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God, that he's done, that he's led to do the wrong thing or to do the forbidden thing. But let that man know that God can tempt no man with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by the spirit of the enemy, iniquity, lust, the hidden things of the heart, the hidden things in the minds of men. Oh, I wish I had time to really dissect and go into. I don't know if I can have a hypothesis to do all of the things that are happening, but I want to tell you something today, that the Bible has clearly declared to us the things that are freely given to us by the truth. And I want to tell you today that we have power over the enemy, and that power comes through Jesus Christ, shed blood on Calvary. He came to redeem us back to the Father after we were separated. You go on and read the rest of the story in Genesis chapter 3. When the man and the woman were separated from the will of God, from the power of God, from the presence of God, and therefore they died spiritually. I want to tell you today, friend of mine, that you and I have been bought back through the precious blood of Jesus. Temptation, can we overcome? Of course we are overcomers. We've been given the privilege by the blood of Jesus. We've been given the privilege by the shed blood on Calvary. I'll get back into it. I just wanted to share it with you today. Today, that you and I are free, friend. We've been free from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? Man, we could not keep it. We had no power because sin had entered into our lives through the temptation in the garden, through the enemy who was kicked out of heaven. He came to destroy you and me. Jesus said in John 10:10, for the thief cometh not. He is the thief today. He is the robber. He is the killer. For the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He was talking about that life that was taken away from us in the day that Adam sinned. He came back to the earth to give it to us through the form of his son, Yeshua, the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. And as we depart today, if that's you, friend, if you hear that, he was talking to believers. He was talking to people who would believe. You can be saved today. You can be delivered. You can be free from temptation. You won't be free from temptation, but you can overcome those things. And I want to pray the prayer of faith with you today. Father, those of who have heard this podcast today, who hear this and are reaching out by faith, touch their lives. Deliver them in the name of Jesus. Let them know that they are overcomers of temptation and that they don't have to live in bondage any longer. And that today you have brought the blood of Jesus as a praise and a sacrifice to deliver them from the slave market of sin. And friend, if that's you today, accept that prayer of faith. Believe that Jesus has done this thing and call on his name and tell him to save you. As Romans chapter 10 says, for as many shall call upon the name that is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, they shall be saved. Be saved today in Jesus' name.